When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
What's new? Well, the Decibel Geek Podcast is new. Yeah, we're bringing you some new noise today. My name is Aaron Camaro. Right here, that's Chris Sinzak.
Hola, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's going to be a fun one today.
Yeah.
This is something that people have said to us, you know, we like it when you do this. You just talk. You just talk about current events, things that are going on. So when the people tell us what they like, we try to give them a little more of it.
Yeah, it's a new noise, new volume. Basically, talk about rock news, current rock news that's going on. There's a special review of the Ace Frehley Spaceman album coming up later. And a little bit of a rant, but you'll get all of it.
Yeah, so then here's what we're going to do, because the rant has to do with the big Ear Peeler Podcast Kings tournament going on right now, and we actually recorded this the other night. So in tournament time, that was years ago.
Yeah, it was.
So news. We're going to come back at the halftime break and give you guys the up to the minute, you know, a lot closer to the actual time of what's going on since then. So before we get to our awesome conversation today, and oh yeah, we're going to be talking about KISS, you know it, want to take care of the business right now. Yeah, let's do it that way. Let's get it started. Here's some reviews that come to us from all our friends, all the people that love us. They want to give us some support.
Yeah.
Support is what we need. Support's what lifts you up, right? It lifts you up and it keeps you up. That's the definition of support.
Yes.
That's what these people do. So let's see what we got here. This one is an iTunes review. All right. Don't have to break out the Kleenex or nothing.
No.
Let's see. It's 1 star. This is another 1 star review.
Controversial.
Yeah, I don't like these. Okay, well, I guess it's only fair. You know, you get a review, you got to read it. Let's see what it says. And it goes a little something like this. The worst show I've ever heard. They don't talk over the guests enough. Never reference Meatloaf and have balanced audio. Total crap. Sincerely, Optimus Prime.
Damn.
Oh, man.
We just can't win the bots over for anything, can we?
Man, not even the king of them.
Jeez.
Apparently, Optimus, he's the man, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess let's look to Facebook. Let's see what we got there instead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've got that.
Oh, okay. So you got to read this one.
It's a little bit longer, so I'm going to read it straight off the Facebook app. And if you go to facebook.com/decibelgeek, you can leave a review, or as they call them now, recommendations.
Recommendations. Leave us a Facebook recommendation.
That Zuckerberg's always got to get it confusing. This comes from Joseph Capone. And he says, I originally left a review about Decibel Geek on iTunes a few years back after being introduced to their show on the Inappropriate Earl podcast.
Right on.
After working my way through a huge chunk of the back catalog while rocking out to their latest and greatest, I decided I should probably show Chris and Aaron some love via Facebook recommendations as well. Simply put, for fans of hard rock and metal, this show has it all. From regular installments of the Radio Sucks episodes where they keep the true spirit of rock and roll alive by spinning the tunes corporate radio doesn't have the balls to play, to their deep dives into the background and production of a specific release with one of its key contributors in the album's Unleashed series. The geeks keep it fresh each week by filling our ears with some of the best, and if the show theme calls for it, worst music that has ever been recorded. After each episode, I always manage to take away new knowledge in regards to old favorites or a new appreciation for something I may have never given a fair shake in the past. To paraphrase the late John Lennon, all I am saying is give geeks a chance. 5-star child guitar picks out of 5.
Sweet.
That's a great review.
Man, that warms the heart. That support lifts you up, keeps you there.
Yeah, no thanks to you, Optimus.
Yeah, no kidding. Learn a little something about leaving recommendations.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got another one for you. If that wasn't good enough, I mean, it's a good thing this isn't a tournament.
Right.
Who's got the best reviews? I don't know. I wouldn't be able to vote at all. But this one comes to us from Podchaser. It's 5 stars. Comes to us from Beaker. Goes like this. Decibel Geek hosts Chris and Aaron are the reason I got into podcasts. They were doing this before Eddie Trunk, before Jericho, and in my opinion, they are better. Real talk about rock from two big fans waving the flag for music we love. I never miss an episode. Kudos, gentlemen.
Wow.
That's another fantastic review.
It's a great review from a Muppet. When it goes like this.
Something like that.
Thanks, Beaker.
Oh, that's awesome, man. A couple of great reviews and one that totally sucks.
Yeah. Well, keep those reviews coming on iTunes and Podchaser. And, yeah, Podchaser is really cool. You can even review individual episodes. It's really great.
I like that. That's very cool. Yeah, because people like the certain ones throughout the history, you know. And today we're going to be revisiting one of those. So before we get to that, of course, you know, there's a lot of great ways to help us out. We'll tell you all about that when we come back for our little break. But here's the way people helped us out last week with our awesome episode we did with Aaron Baker, mm-hmm. as he took us through his life and his journeys and how music played a role in that, as he opened up his rock and roll diary to us. And that was pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, good response.
And you know what? We're not the only ones that think so, because we got a whole bunch of Geeks of the Week.
Yeah, Geeks of the Week this week are Aaron Baker, Matt Ashcraft, Dan Nation, Mike Tyler, Andrew Jacobs, Simon Cat, Rock and Ron Runyon, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, Victor Ruiz, The Bakery Podcast, James West, Joe Lescon, David Glenn, Rodney Dixon, Mikhail Burrell, James McElhenney, Sean Cullen, Todd Cunningham, Ernesto Aguiar, J.J. Mack, David Hudson from Digital Killed the Radio Star, and, of course,
the Mooger Fooger. All right, so are you guys ready? I know we're ready to get some new noise. Just remember, we're coming back at the halftime break, going to give you the update on where we stand in the ear peeler, rocking whatever the hell's going on with it, pitting podcasts against podcasts in a total epic war where there can only be one. We hope to be the one standing on top of the mountain with a bloody sword in our hand, a la Manowar cover.
Nice.
When it's all said and done.
All right, let's get to it. All right, you ready to do this?
No, man, I'm busy.
With what?
Listening to Victor.
You can listen to Victor another time. We got a show to do.
Man, but I'm so excited about the ear peeler tournament.
Oh, yeah, that. I haven't heard anything about that yet.
Are you kidding me? That's the biggest thing in rock. We're doing new noise today. We're talking about what's current in the world of rock and roll. What's the bigger story in the world of rock and roll than the ear peeler tournament for the Podcast Kings Championship?
Well, maybe you're right.
There's nothing more important in the world. Not in my world.
Yeah.
After what we just been through with Pat Francis and Rock Solid, are you kidding me?
It was a tough battle.
580 votes we got.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Thanks to all of you that voted for that.
Holy
that.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, I was scared. I was scared there for a minute. I thought we were going to lose. Pat Francis, I mean, we never lost the lead,
mm-mm.
but man, he crept up on us, man. He almost had it 50-50 there
Very
for a minute.
Close.
And talk about if we won with 580 votes, we barely beat him.
Yeah.
Barely.
So we're going to need everybody to keep voting for us.
We're now in,
as of this recording, we're into round four, and we're up against the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and we're hoping we can go to the next round.
Which Mark Reseda, you know, he's a good dude, mm-hmm. you know, that's our opponent this round, and, you know, we're not taking him lightly. Mm-mm. We just went through a hellacious battle, but you know what, this is another show, they're really good, so I'm sure they've got their fans.
Absolutely.
So keep voting for us.
Yeah, please do.
This isn't going to be a cakewalk into the end. Well, so where are we at in this tournament?
I think we're winning up pretty good right now.
All right, let me take a look. Well, who's left? Who's alive?
Well,
so right now... Yeah. Let's see, we got Rock and or Roll, mm-hmm. our good friend BJ, yep. the ever-reluctant BJ, against Metal Voice.
And that Metal Voice show, man, they've had a huge turnout.
I've never even heard of it before
I hadn't either until this tournament, but like David Reese, who you know sang for Accept with Eat the Heat
and
Bangalore Choir,
he's
been like promoting the hell out of it.
Oh,
so
nice.
They've actually got celebrities promoting their
Yeah, we should have got that guy on our show a long time ago, huh? We'd only know.
Albums Unleashed for Eat the Heat. Next week.
Shit, yeah, that'd be great. I'm down with that anytime.
I love that album.
Me too. So then, you know, right now it's 51-49 as we're doing this, and BJ's losing right now.
Oh, come on.
You know, we're big fans of BJ Kahuna.
Totally.
You know, he's a good friend of ours. We've all been on his show more than once.
Yeah.
And I keep blowing him off. We're going to do a Great White episode someday. Someday, Kahuna, we're going to do it. But you're going to pull through and hopefully win this one. Metal Voice, you know, that's got to be something worth checking out.
Yeah,
because,
check
I mean,
show out.
They've lasted this long, so that means something.
Yeah.
And then you got us. We're against a Hard Rock and Trivia show. We talked about that. Right now we're up 82 to 18%, but it's only been 180 votes.
Yeah, it's the vote turnout's kind of low right now. As of the time you hear this, the poll will be over.
Right.
So we're going to be promoting on Facebook.
So then we got something interesting here.
Yeah.
Then we got, this is going to be our next opponents.
If we win.
If we win, yes. This will be our next opponents. Podkist versus the Rock and Metal Combat Podcast.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Yeah, I haven't even decided who I'm going to vote for yet, because they both mean a lot to me.
I'm afraid of the Kiss World Order.
Me too. They're pretty scary.
Because now that we realize that when it comes down to the Kiss podcast, that Podkist is truly the kings of them all.
Mm-hmm.
I got to imagine that all the Kiss fans are going to be getting behind them.
I would think so. Ken Mills has a giant following.
Is our July strong enough?
Yeah, that's a good question.
If it comes
if we
down
have to go
to
head
that,
to head with them, that's
is
gonna, that's
our July strong enough?
Yeah, we've done a lot of Kiss content too, so you know,
that's right.
We can take the Pepsi challenge and listen to both shows.
We're almost a Kiss podcast.
We kind of are.
We kind of are.
We're considered on message board to be a Kiss podcast. I'll see polls like, "Who's your favorite Kiss podcast?" and we'll somehow get written in by certain people. But
right,
we're not really a Kiss podcast, but okay.
For that month in July and at least one mention every episode.
Yeah, we still pulled Kiss out of the hat, even not in July.
Without even trying.
Yeah.
Well, we're just happens.
We're Kiss nerds.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
So then we got, they're going up against Rock and Metal Combat and...
yeah, and they have a huge following.
The not drama-free Rock and Metal Combat podcast, you know.
It's putting it mildly.
So, I mean, okay, before we get into all that, let's just look at who else is live.
Through the brackets.
So then we got Zilch, which is another Ken Mills podcast.
It's a monkeys podcast.
And that guy's stacking the deck.
Yeah.
Stacking the deck against everybody else. We got the Zilch podcast against our good buddy Josh from Talk To Me.
Yeah.
I don't know who to tell you to vote for on this one.
I voted
just
for
kidding.
Josh.
I voted for Josh, too, and I hope you do, too. I love the Monkees.
Yeah.
Not my most favorite band in the whole world, but I love the people that are involved with that show.
I want to help Josh get the Monkees off his back.
Yeah, totally. Josh deserves it. Vote for Talk To Me.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
All right, so that's who's left. That's what's left in the tournament. Those four matches will determine who goes on.
Oh, yeah. So we're down to eight shows.
Yeah, that's right. The
Elite Eight. Wow.
So
it's cool to get this far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's been exciting. It's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I found it exciting and fun. How have you been finding the Ear Peeler Podcast King Tournament?
Challenging.
Challenging.
In more ways than one. Yeah, there's been some drama behind the scenes, and I said I would address some of that today, and I will.
I'm dying to hear about it.
Well, it's funny because it's like I'm addressing it, but as I've told the people that keep coming to me about it, I don't have anything to do with it. We don't have any beefs with anybody.
Yeah, that's like I said, Chris Sinzak is my co-host, not your therapist.
Yeah, and I love everybody that's involved in this thing. I think it's great.
So why do you think we're having so many troubles now? You know, I mean,
well,
when we're all at the expo, everybody gets along. There have been no fist fights.
No.
I mean, nobody's even ever tried to beat up Michael Butler. I mean, if you can get past that, I mean, there's some real brotherhood there.
Now, if Vinny had shown up, that would have been but no, it's
and took a look at Ian and Ralph. There might have been some.
Yeah, that might
thrown.
Not have gone over well. But I don't know. It's hard to condense it all into a small amount of time. But essentially, you know, I think there's shows that are having beefs with each other, and some of these beefs go back, you know, well before this tournament, and or that this tournament's kind of brought them to light.
So is it that the Rock and Metal Combat podcast, is it because they're the bad guys?
Well, they self-proclaim bad guys.
They are the self-proclaimed bad guys, but I see they also have a tender side, too.
They do.
I've been noticing through this tournament.
And I want to say, Aaron and I both know Ian and Ralph personally.
And like them
a lot.
We
like them a lot. They are good people. Some of the stuff they say on their show, you know, might rub you the wrong way. They can be abrasive.
If you don't like them, you know what you should do?
Don't listen.
Vote against them.
Yeah.
Don't listen to it and vote against them. Vote for the show you do love.
Yeah.
Don't talk shit.
Yeah, the
and vice versa.
Vice versa,
really?
Because there, vice versa. The, there are no guilt-free parties in, no, the, in this whole no. mess. And I'm
from what I've read and seen, yeah, there no, it's yeah. it's all going good on all sides there.
And I'm including Ian and Ralph in this too. I'm not defending one side or the other. There's been a lot of bad form on a lot of people's parts, and it's just one of those things where it's like we can be better than this, guys.
Right?
I mean, this we're all middle-aged podcasters. There's no need for personal attacks. Even if you don't like what somebody says, let's not handle something that you would handle with a fly swatter by getting a nuclear missile. Okay?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
That's my suggestion. I'm not telling you what to do. Do what you want, because as I've told numerous people that have come to me this week, I have nothing to do with this.
Right, yeah.
And people are making it about...
We're competing in it just like you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, we are, and we're having fun with it. It's all, in my opinion, it's good-natured ribbing between
right,
the shows.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
That's what
you
it
know?
Should be.
Don't be so freaking
let's not get personal.
That you just freak out over
yeah,
stuff.
Let's not get personal and attack
people. Look at us.
People.
I mean, we had Pat Francis.
Yeah.
Between those two shows, up to this point, had more votes than anything
yeah.
that had gone on in this tournament.
Over 1,000
That
votes.
Was a serious, serious battle.
It was.
Did we ever talk shit about Pat
no.
Francis? No, we didn't have to. You know why? Because we're not relying on talking shit about Pat Francis. We're relying on our fans, our friends, yeah. our listeners and, to have our backs. And that's
right.
what it's all
and
about.
And my advice to any other show, you don't need to talk shit. I don't think all of our shows have loyal listeners that
right.
will vote for us either way.
Right, yeah.
So why don't we just have fun with it? That's my advice. And then there's been people that have been gumming up the works that aren't even podcasters in this whole thing.
Right.
Turning
yeah,
people against each
too.
Other, and I don't appreciate that. I really don't.
Well, here's the thing about that. The only way somebody can turn you and twist you is if you let
if
them.
If you let them.
If you let them.
Words only have the power that you allow them to have.
Exactly.
So it's up to you how you react to something. It's not... Somebody can tell you you're an asshole. Okay, you can listen to that, but does that mean you necessarily have to go after them with,
right.
with a battle axe?
I can name 100 people that think I'm fucking awesome.
Sure.
You got this one guy that thinks I'm an asshole. You
right.
know? Okay. Well, I'm gonna go with the 100.
None of us are gonna be liked by everybody. That's
no.
the simple fact. But it's one of those things where there's been some behind the scenes drama going on where people are being turned against each other, and then I got people coming to me. Because I'm the head of the expo saying, you know, we're not going to come if they come to the expo.
Oh, there's going to be fist fights
or,
at
yeah,
the expo.
Yeah, there's going to be fist fights.
Do you think Aaron Camaro's got a connection on a wrestling ring? You damn right I got a connection on a wrestling ring.
Now I got to find room for a damn wrestling
ring. Do I got to set that up in the middle of it?
Jesus.
Well, this was where the big pink tent would have been last year. Can't we just put the
right.
wrestling ring over here?
But it's like, and then people asking, you know, for shows to be banned from the expo. I'm like,
no.
listen.
No.
You can have a gripe, and it can be a well-thought-out gripe, but listen to me. I'm the guy who's running this damn thing, and I haven't banned anyone in 2 years of doing it, and I'm not going to start now.
No, because if you were going to ban anybody, you'd have banned the Combat Podcast after the first year, the response they got.
Yeah.
They didn't get banned then. They're not going to get banned now.
I love everyone involved in this thing.
Yes.
And yeah, some people are rough around the edges, and some people are going to say things you don't like and you don't agree with. But listen, guys.
Don't be so tender.
Don't break friendships over silly stuff like this. It's totally not worth it. It's just because you disagree with something, then just disagree and move on.
Right.
And if you're going after somebody, you might be just giving them the attention that they're craving. And that's really all you're
there
doing.
You go.
You're honestly giving
you
them
go.
What they want.
Feed the monster,
and
why don't you?
This is me being dad, I guess. But
that you asked
yeah,
for it then,
I know.
Didn't you?
But no, my
Let
words
me tell you something, kids.
My word weighs no more than anyone else's. You can tell me I'm a fucking idiot. I don't care. That's fine. But
exactly,
I'm giving you my
100
two cents.
People that think you're kick ass.
Well, great. I'm happy for those 100 people.
Yeah.
But
don't
like,
be sad for the one.
That's my opinion. Focus on the people that love you and love your show. And fuck, who cares about the rest?
Exactly.
If you get tied up in worrying about who doesn't like you, then you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
You can't lie.
What we talk
that.
About on that episode that you came up with that thing, was it psychological vampires?
Oh, yeah, there's psychic vampires going yeah. on in here.
Yeah, it's like people
they
that are,
feed
that are
on
they're
it.
Sucking the goodness out of you, and you're allowing
yeah.
it to happen. Don't let people take the good out of you. It's
no.
not worth it. And, you know, and I can't be as eloquent and as good-hearted as Ken Mills, but I'm doing my best. Ken Mills is the example we all should live by. He is always positive. He loves what he does with podcasts. And we all got into this to have fun
right.
and to have a release from stress.
Yeah.
If you're letting your podcast and the podcasting world stress you out, that's a problem.
Pat Francis stressed me out.
Yeah. But as an example,
I won't lie about that.
As an example, when the tournament was decided, he sent me a nice text saying, congrats, that was a hard-fought battle. I'm going to vote for you from here on out.
Right on.
That's the way that's we all cool. should be acting, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Everybody that is lost should be voting for Decibel Geek.
Yeah, and I've got some... I'm not going to lie. We want to win. Of course we do.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to win.
Well, that's the beauty of it, because like my wife said, she's like, you know, well, what do you win if you win? You know, because she's seen I was excited about this whole thing.
Sure.
What do you win? I said, prestige. She's like, well, what makes it prestigious? Just the names of the people that are in it make it prestigious. Whether you were eliminated in the first round, whether you're still alive.
Yeah, they're all cool.
The fact that you're in this is what makes it prestigious.
Sure.
You know, and that's the beauty of it all. So if basically, if you're talking shit about somebody else that's in it, you're talking shit about yourself because you're taken away from the prestige. Well, maybe it's not as prestigious because you guys are in it. Well, that only takes a bite at yourself.
Right.
You know, it's only as prestigious as it is because everybody in it is fucking awesome.
Everybody. And I, everyone that I've talked to, even those of you that are fighting amongst each other, I love you all. You're all good people. Even the ones you don't agree with, they're all good people. I wouldn't be involved with any of them if they weren't. But now, as far as Ian and Ralph go, because I have a lot of people coming to me about Ian and Ralph, and they know this. Look. I know them. Aaron knows them. They're not bad people. You may disagree with what they say. Honestly, I've disagreed with some of the stuff they've said through this process. But I've told people I'm not going to not be friends with somebody because I disagree with something
they said.
But either way, guys, I'm happy to talk to you about podcasting. I'm happy to talk to you about the expo. But please take a breath, relax, and let's not try to draw lines in the sand. Let's just go through this tournament, have fun, and chill.
That's right.
That's all we need to do, guys.
Yeah. Because what are you going to fight about when we win it anyway?
Because we're going to win either way. It's obviously rigged for us to win, right? As some of you have told me.
Well, yeah. Based on popularity of awesome podcasts.
Yeah.
And we're in the tournament with the most awesome podcasts in the world. So we have to win it. So that when 2019 comes, we wear our referee shirts out in the parking lot and wherever the expo's at. It's going to be great.
But guys, we're having fun with this. You should too. Seriously.
Right.
It's not worth all this drama.
No.
I hope things will chill out.
Out of all the podcasts that are left, if any of them beat us, I'm not going to hate that show.
No. It's stupid to be that way.
If we get knocked out by Podkist at next year's Expo, I'm like, I ain't going to fucking talk to Ken Mills because he beat us in the fucking tournament.
No.
I'm going to be like, dude. I'm honored to have lost to that guy. Combat podcast, same thing.
Yeah.
BJ Kahuna, talk to me.
Cheering for everybody.
At this point, I would be proud to lose to any one of
Every one of them.
And I'm not saying that I'm okay with it.
No.
We said proud, not overjoyed. If that's the way it turns out, I got no problem with any of them.
Right.
You know what? We could have lost in the first round, and I'd been like, you know what? That must be one fucking awesome show to have beaten us that way.
And as far as the expo goes, guys, yeah, it's going to happen next year.
You're damn right it is.
I was on the fence this week, I will be honest.
Your sissy bullshit will not stop the expo. But, knock it off.
But it was. It's not worth it. The expo's got a great future. I think we're going to have a great time next year.
And, I will not allow anybody to fight in the parking lot.
No, it's not. I don't think it's going to come to that. I think cooler heads will prevail.
Totally.
We're all going to have fun. No one's getting banned. We're going to let this go.
At the end, they're going to just be like, well, we knew Decibel Geek was going to win anyway. Why did we even do this? Let's all hug it out.
I love how you're trying to stir people.
Well, everybody else seems to be having
so much
fun.
Chill out and focus your hate on us.
Well, then, speaking of stirring shit, man, Mitch, I told you I loved you. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the guy that loves Mitch Lafon. Everybody else picks on him, but I still love him. I was just messing with you, buddy.
Hey, my hat's off to him for that Paul Stanley interview. He did a great job.
Fuck yeah.
So, but yeah, no, look, guys, it's all podcasting. It's honestly should be all in fun. Let's relax.
That's what this is all about. Yeah. We're just having fun with it. Win, lose, draw, whatever.
And the expo will take place. There will be some changes next year for my own sanity's sake.
Right.
But it's stuff I've been thinking about for a while. This is not like the tipping point or anything. But yeah, it's going to have to be done differently next year. But it'll still be a great time if you can join us.
We'll find out about all that when it comes to it.
Yeah, I'll announce it as we go. But
the beauty of it is it's here in Nashville, and those changes really don't affect me too much.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I am going to bring Eddie Trunk in as MC, though. No, I'm just kidding.
Do we get a bigger table this year if we win the tournament? Does the winner of the tournament get a bigger table?
That doesn't help us because we don't sit at the table anyway.
Oh, that's true.
I didn't sit at our table once this past
year. Michael Butler would be like, my table ain't good enough. Where did you stand in the ear peeler tournament? Who did you ever beat? I beat myself. You gotta have fun with
Send
it.
Send your
right?
complaints to Eric's Facebook page, please. Leave me
I'm
out of it.
I'm only teasing.
But not.
I'm only teasing.
But yeah, I'm happy to talk to anybody. But guys, just don't bring your gripes to me about it because I have nothing to do with it, really.
I can't believe Cobras and Fire's out already.
I know. I was hoping they would have gone a lot further.
I thought they were. It was going to be Cobras and Fire and Combat or Podkissed. Some. I don't know. Yeah. It's all insane to me.
But yeah, it's been a crazy week.
This is the thing you can take away from this whole beginning 20 minutes of this show. This is what you can take away is vote for Decibel Geek.
Yeah.
Pause this. Do it. Come back. Enjoy. What else we got going on? You got it all? You feel good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Is there anything left?
No, I think I've said my piece on it. But like I've said, it's just my opinion. You guys have your own. But just go on about it. Let everybody chill out.
But it makes me feel sad because you come to me and you're like, man, all these people are on my ass about this fucking tournament. It ain't your tournament.
It's not.
It's Vic's tournament.
Yeah, go to Victor.
and it's an awesome tournament. You know, you shouldn't even have to go to Victor. You just be like, I did my best. I won. I lost. Whatever. You know?
And whether you agree.
At the end of it all, if you win, you still got to make your own fucking trophy.
Well, we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we're going to win it.
Should we do a trophy or should we do, like, crowns?
Crowns?
Yeah.
Why not go all out?
Maybe Burger King's still open.
You know what we got to do? We got to figure out how to get Vic here from Spain for Rockin' Pod 3. Mm-hmm. And, like, the main portion of Rockin' Pod 3, like, after all the famous rock stars have been interviewed and after the, you know, all that stuff goes on, the coronation.
You're going to break out the fur coat?
The coronation.
Get the sash made and everything.
Ralph and Ian fucking put our crowns on our heads, have Ken Mills, you know, put the swords to our shoulders, have talked to me and BJ, you know, throw flowers up for it. It'll be awesome.
Delusions of grant.
We'll find out if they're delusions or not. I believe in our listeners.
I love
it. As we found out as we faced off against Rock Solid.
I love everybody involved, but we want to win.
Man. That 580 votes, man, it made my heart, like, almost break my ribs.
Well, let's see if we can do better. By the time you're hearing this, if we made it through this round, we'll be into the next round against either Podkissed or Rock and Metal. We want your vote.
Yeah, because we need to put them down. We can't let the Kiss World Order take over.
Oh, my God, Kiss.
And we can't let the bad guys win. We're the good guys. We got to win, right?
Are we the good guys?
We are the good guys.
Okay.
Have we ever talked shit about Poison? Have we ever talked shit about Sammy Hagar?
Well, yeah.
we'll see who's next. I guess we did a little.
Not on their level. But it's all good. Everybody have fun and relax.
Vote for the good guys.
Yeah.
Vote for Decibel Geek.
We get it.
We need you.
And I agree.
We need you.
Yeah, we do. Okay, so new noise.
Okay.
We're done with all the drama.
The big news story is out of the way. What else we got going on? We got any Kiss stuff going on?
Of course we do. So I've been wanting to get our take on Kiss announcing the End of the Road tour.
Oh, man.
What's your take on this?
It breaks my heart.
Really?
Kiss is supposed to stay 30 forever, you know, and never grow old and never go away and never stop touring. And it makes me sad is what it does.
I think I have a different opinion.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just saying, like, as a true Kiss fan that I am, it makes me sad. You know, yes, I know it's time. It's equivalent to putting a dog down, I think, for me.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It's equivalent to putting a dog down. You love this animal, you know, dog, cat, whatever, pet, something that's become part of your life, you know, and it's been such an important part of your life. I mean, even more so than a dog, because Kiss has been around longer than most dogs have.
That's true.
So it's a dog that lived extra, extra long. It's been with you your whole life, you know, it's meant so much to you.
Yeah.
And now you have to make the choice and say, I don't have a choice no more. It's time to put them down. You know, the dog is telling you it's time for me to be put down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the end, and it sucks.
Do you really think it's the end?
Well, it's the end of Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer, right? And then they're going to go back out with Ace Frehley and Peter Criss and be like, this is the farewell tour part six.
I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing surprises me with Kiss anymore.
Well, I mean, they did it back in the day, the farewell to Ace and Pete.
Yeah.
Now they do the farewell and be like, oh, well, that was just to that version of the band. And now
right.
Now we're reunited again with the original guys and we're ready to go.
I'll make the statement I always make. If you want to go see Kiss and see them live, and if you've never seen Kiss, I encourage you to see them live.
Do it.
Because it's worth seeing once.
Oh, totally.
But for me as a fan, Kiss as a touring entity stopped almost 10 years ago to me.
So you will not?
No.
Not at all?
Nope, not going.
They come to Nashville.
Yep.
You're not going.
No. I saw a good entertaining Kiss show in 2009, and that's enough for me.
But isn't that enough to keep it in your mind and go, I know what Kiss was. You know, I know what they used to be able to do. I understand that what I'm about to see is the last hurrah, the best of what they got left.
That's not
And I'm going to enjoy it. For what it is, because this is me saying goodbye to ever being able to see Kiss live again.
I said my goodbye in 2009. I was happy.
Did you leave that night and say, I know this is the last time I'm ever going
to
see
Absolutely.
Kiss?
Absolutely. I told my son that night as we walked to the parking lot. And he was like, why are you saying that? I was like, I had fun, but I know that it's going to go downhill from here. I just knew.
Okay, what if... they announce somewhere down the line that they're coming to Nashville and Ace and Peter are going to be there in full get-up. What?
No.
What?
I don't think they can deliver an entertaining top-flight show that I would hope to get from them.
But you can't set your good memories aside
I have my good memories. I'm totally cool with that.
I'm telling you this. If they announce that Ace Frehley and Peter Criss are playing with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley tomorrow night and at the Bridgestone Arena,
you're gonna go.
I'm fucking there.
Well, have fun. I hope you have a great time.
I'm like, Chris, I got an extra ticket. You're like, no, I won't.
Maybe for free.
Yeah, you fucker.
But no,
I would totally buy a ticket for that.
I don't know.
Even if it's, you know what, and I'm even saying, even if it's Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer along with them, the way we all know it's
Eric
going to
Tommy
be.
Eric and Tommy aren't my problem.
No, that's not my problem at all. You know, those guys are fucking awesome, you know.
Yeah.
They're doing really good.
They're great players.
But I still want to go just because I know, you know, this is the last chance I'm ever going to have to see Kiss.
That's just gone for me, man.
I guess the last Kiss show I went to, I didn't walk out and go, this is the last time I ever want to see this
band. Then you're not done.
Then I'm not done.
And I don't view it as a sad thing that I don't want to see him. It's fine.
Do you feel sad that there's going to be no more Kiss?
Because
I think that's what makes me the most sad. It's not that, like, oh, I really want to see them because they're touring and they're firing on all cylinders. And
that band's given me so much joy over the years, they don't owe me a thing.
Damn straight.
I don't expect anything from them anymore. I don't.
Damn straight. That's fucking awesome, dude.
Monster was the last album they did. I'm totally cool with that being the last album they ever do. Honestly, I think we expect too much of the bands we love. I really do.
Sometimes.
If they're ready to hang it up, my hat's off to them. I just don't feel the need to be there.
Let's sit down and make a tally of every penny we've ever spent on Kiss between the two of us.
I'd be a very rich man if I had all that money back. Believe I've spent a lot.
Like, give me all my Kiss money back, and I'll pay off my house.
Musical releases, you know, remastered or you know, bonus tracks. And so I'm a first day buyer.
Fuck yeah!
So I'm not. I'm still a Kiss fan. Kiss will never not be my favorite band.
Maybe Kiss will still get together and put out new albums. Maybe it's
I would
the
love
touring.
That.
Maybe it's the touring.
Well, that's
of it
my
that
thing.
Kills them because you know Paul Stanley can get in the studio and deliver it.
He can make it work.
You know, give the guy some rest, some time to heal up. Let him get in the studio. Feeling comfortable and doing it.
I'd buy
it. But look what Paul Stanley's doing. He's singing every night, live concerts.
That's part of my problem.
Every night.
He's killed his vocal cords.
And so give a guy a chance to heal up and do something special every once in a while.
I don't begrudge them continuing. It's fine. It's their job. It's their band. That's not up to me what they do.
Yeah, because everybody else would be damn upset that Kiss is going away.
I don't view this as a giant sad event, though.
I don't.
No, they've done enough for me, man.
I totally get that sentiment. Yeah. You know, you're right. You're 100% right. KISS doesn't fucking owe us anything anymore because of all the, because of being there our whole lives. You know, when nobody else was there for me, KISS was.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, the band's got me through a lot of stuff. In that sentiment,
you're right. They don't owe us a fucking thing. But
I don't view me not going as a slap in their face or anything. I don't. And I don't think they would view it that way either. I think, and Paul's made it clear. He's like, if you want to come to the show, great. If not, you know, thanks for all the years you supported us.
When Gene Simmons was looking at that paycheck at the end of the night, he's like, Chris Sinzak wasn't here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's thinking that.
But he sees that extra $72 missing.
It would take a lot. I mean, I would have to see real proof in the pudding that they're doing it for the diehards, because we're the diehards. I don't believe.
That's a great point too.
I don't believe anything they've done in the last few years has been for the diehards. They're doing it for the casual fan who's never seen them.
And in that respect, to say, okay, this is the end.
Yeah.
And if the logic behind playing Rock and Roll All Night, Detroit Rock City, you know, Shout It Out Loud, all the songs that you have to play is to grab the audience that maybe peripherally may have heard this somewhere, or to draw somebody new in with these classic songs that somebody's going to say, oh, I know that song. I've heard that a million times.
Yeah.
If this truly is the end, then you're not fishing for new fans, right? Shouldn't you give it
to the... You would think that, but they're not. I mean, I've listened to Paul's interviews. From what I'm gleaning from what they've said so far, is it's going to be pretty much more of the same. It's going to be the same.
It's going to be KISS's greatest hits.
It's going to be the same set list. Yeah. It's going to cater to the fan. And they talk about a new stage show, but they're just saying more bombs, more explosions. I'm like, that's not really what I want.
That's not what it's about to guys like us.
Bring a lighted logo out. Bring actual props.
Bring back the KISS Alive 2 stage.
Do something like that. Or
do something iconic. What year was KISS the biggest they ever were? 77, right?
Well, you could almost argue that it was 96. I mean,
well,
they were almost bigger then than they were in the 70s.
Because the legend was so big. But if you're talking about the heyday of the original KISS.
Yeah, their top prime form. Yeah, Love Gun Tour.
You open that KISS Alive 2 album. That's what you ought to do.
Yeah, that's my opinion. If they did something like a stage like that, or do a video tribute to Eric Carr during the show, because he deserved, like, actually celebrate their entire history.
Hey, wait a minute. What if Vinnie Vincent was there? Then would you go?
I think Vinnie should be involved.
I know you do. And that's why I'm asking you. If they said, we're bringing Vinnie Vincent out on stage for a portion of this show in his full Egyptian warrior getup.
And Bruce Kulick.
Would you go then?
And Bruce Kulick.
Well, then,
they got to celebrate all eras to get me to go.
We've talked about this before. And ultimately, the ultimate way to go out would be to, like you say, you start at current day.
Yeah, and go
backwards.
Here's
the current band. And then you go back to, like, the Revenge era.
Yeah.
And then you go back to, like, the Crazy Nights era.
Yeah.
You know, Asylum, all that. Animalize. And then you go back to the Creatures.
Yeah.
And the Lick It Up with Vinnie Vincent and the makeup. You know, and then Vinnie Vincent. There's wardrobe changes going on here.
This shit would have to put
Cher to shame.
Absolutely.
And so then, like, every time, and then at the very, very end of the concert,
it's the candles. Yeah.
It's the fucking candles.
A bare bones set.
Little else.
Yep, the Alive set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Moose or Kento back there, you know, lighting fuses.
Oh, yeah. If Moose is there, I'm on board.
Yeah, totally.
But, like, it would need to cater to diehards, and it would have to be that kind of show.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be, but I don't think it's happening.
Well, I don't think it's logistically possible.
Sure it is.
I mean, I guess if you want to wait 5 minutes in between sets, it'd have to be more than that.
Even at the least of, you know, bringing out guests and stuff like that. But, like, it would have to celebrate all years of the band.
I would like that.
And with multiple people singing to take the strain off of Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
Because if Paul Stanley's singing 75% of the set, I'm not there.
Well, KISS songs are almost 75% Paul Stanley songs.
But if you had Peter and Ace involved with Gene, then you could even with the current lineup, if you let Tommy and Eric sing some of their songs from Sonic Boom and Monster, even it would take the heat off of Paul.
Yeah,
and it would space it out. Like if I have to deal with Paul singing every few songs, I'm fine.
Satisfy the people that are fans of the now version of KISS.
Well,
the version we've had for the last good God how many years.
One of the biggest gripes I have about the current lineup is some people are going to disagree with me. I thought Sonic Boom and Monster were both good albums.
Yeah, I agree.
why the fuck are you not playing stuff off of those records? And I know Paul's like, well, you know, you got to play those for years to get, you know, to make them classics. But then he contradicts himself and he's like, well, Psycho Circus has kind of become a classic. And it's like, you could have been playing those songs this whole time, dude.
Right.
You know, yeah. Sonic Boom came out 2009.
If that's the truth, then why wouldn't you put the pick your favorite ones off those albums and put the time into
making them
classics?
Yeah, play them regularly. People will get into them.
If nothing else, just let the Gene Simmons band get those guys together and be like, you guys put together the playlist. Oh,
see, at this point, I would rather see Gene's band than see Kiss.
Totally, because that's what you're going to get with Gene's band. Yeah. Because those guys, and we've talked about a million times on this show, those guys care. You know, they're real Kiss fans, just like those of us that are feeling like they're real Kiss fans, have been there for a long time, really get into the discography, know all the songs, have your favorites, and they're probably not Rock and Roll All Night and Shout It Out Loud, you know, or Beth. So, you know, everybody's got their favorite Kiss songs, and they're all different because there's so many Kiss songs to choose from. And again, you know, back to your point, they don't owe us nothing because look at the catalog they've given us.
Right.
And so everybody's got their favorites, so pick and choose some weird stuff and throw it in there.
Well, and it always cracks me up that Paul Stanley's like, we're going to play the hits. And I'm like, oh, so you're going to play Forever? No, you're not.
You're not going to play Reason to Live.
Tears Are Falling was a hit. You don't ever fucking
totally
play
was.
That song.
Maybe.
That irritates the shit out of me when
Maybe
he says
we'll
that.
Do Heaven's on Fire.
The last time I checked, 100,000 Years was not a hit.
No.
But you fuckers play it all the time.
It's a hit with me.
Well, I love it. But it's just like the hypocrisy of some of the stuff he says. It's like, come on, Paul.
What are you going to do, you know?
But that's, I don't know. Like I said at the beginning, if you want to go see him on this tour, have a blast. I am not going to look down on you one bit. I hope you have a great time. You know, and I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they do a set where it celebrates the whole band.
Yeah.
And maybe, and you know, and if they do, then maybe I'll show up. But they don't owe me anything, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, all good points.
I've still got my Kissologies. I can watch Kiss at their peak whenever I want.
Right.
You know, it's fine.
But you're not feeling a little sad?
Not really.
Huh.
I mean, I love them. I always will. But
you
like,
heartless bastard.
Oh, fuck you. No, I will always love Kiss. But I think it's past time for them to stop touring. I just think it's so done. It's just, and it's not a big deal. Every band stops at some point. People need to get a grip on that.
Well, I'm going, damn it.
Well, have fun.
Because I got to go see them one last time.
Yeah, okay.
Bigger bombs, bigger explosions.
See, I kind of went through all this in 2000.
Shout it all out. You'd rock and roll all night, right, Confetti?
Yeah. Woo.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Ace Frehley.
This happens to be a Cat Stevens album, and I just wanted to say, hey, don't.
The one Metallica Live. June 28th at Louisville Gardens. Metallica. Metallica's Damage Justice Tour. Metallica brings their message to the millions. Now live, Metallica, with very special guests, The Cult. The Cult. Tickets on sale Friday at the Gardens box office. All tickets run and ticket master locations are charged $589.97. Metallica is coming. Brought to you by Sunshine Promotions.
Before we get back to the new noise, as promised, we're going to take that quick break. So where are we at? What's going on? You got it open?
with the ear peeler tournament?
Yeah, let's look.
Yeah, let's look. Let's do it live up to the minute here.
Where are we at right now?
Yeah. So this is, if you're not familiar, go to Ear Peeler on Facebook, and they have all the polls. It started out with 64
right,
shows,
yeah.
And now we're down to the final four, and we're one of the final four.
Yeah, we are.
Which is really great.
Okay. But as it stands right now, we're not winning.
Yeah, I know.
We are losing 49% to 51%.
Yeah, it's a tight race. And Rock and Metal Combat, they've got a huge following, and they got a rabid following. And,
yeah,
and
we knew it was going to be a battle with these guys.
And so this has been a real battle, and it's gone back and forth a lot just today. And if you're hearing this as of release date, I think it ends on Wednesday evening.
You got time. Stop right now. Pause this. Go vote. Come back. Listen to the rest.
Yeah, just go on there and vote. Share the poll. Tell people to vote for Decibel Geek. We need all the help we can get on this one.
Seriously, these guys are the bad boys of podcasting, you know, and people have called us the good guys. So you want to see the good guys win, right? So you got to vote for us.
That's right.
It's so easy to do. Just go to Decibel Geek on the Facebook, and I'm sure it's right up on the top.
You know? Sharing it multiple times all day, every day.
Go to Chris's personal page. Go to mine. We really want to win this thing.
And
we think we got a pretty good shot at it if we could just get past Rock and Metal Combat Podcast.
And if you voted in a previous round where we were up against somebody else, it doesn't carry over. So you have to vote on this round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to make that clear. Because I talked to some people earlier. They're like, well, I voted for you, you know, last week. I'm like, it's a different match.
Right. I know. And it's funny. We were talking about it even earlier, just a few minutes ago, about how, wow, you know, 580 votes. Boy, we're the man. We're the man. You
right.
know? It wasn't too long after we recorded that we looked and seen what Podkist and Ralph and Ian were doing vote-wise. And we were like, oh, damn, we just got humbled.
Yeah, and there's a lot of you guys.
We were top 580 up to that point, not very long after.
Yeah, and there's a lot of you guys that listen to this. So if you're on Facebook, just go. And all you have to do is just click on the Decibel Geek picture, the logo.
You don't even got to go to a website.
Nope.
You don't have to sign your name or your email address or nothing. It's
nothing.
Just click. And then once it comes up and you see the percentages,
hopefully
you're looking at it and you're seeing Decibel Geek is up ahead by a little bit.
Yeah.
But you see the percentages, you know you voted.
Yep. That's all
Simple.
There is to it.
That's
very
it.
Easy.
And then you go back and check and just follow up and see how we're doing.
Yeah, we want the bragging rights, you know.
Yeah, and hopefully check up with us after this round's over when we're in the finals.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Please.
That depends on you people to help us out.
Totally depends on you. It's out of our hands.
We've already had some great people vote for us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Cher voted for us.
Yeah.
And
Michael Wagner
voted for
Sandy
us.
Gennaro.
I mean, come on. Sandy Gennaro.
Yeah.
Perry Richardson. Christopher Williams from Accept.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. If these people are voting for us, they know a little something about entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, they know a little something about rock and roll.
Yeah, we don't ask for much. We do, but we want your vote.
Right, yeah. We really, really do.
Yeah.
So, I guess, what else? We got Rock and Ron and the Coon Brothers on Decibel Geek TV on the Facebook. You got to check that out. All our good brothers that fell before us in the tournament, we raise a toast to all of you.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the reason this whole tournament is prestigious, is because of the people, the shows that made it up. You know, that's the prestige in winning it. That's why we want it so much.
Definitely.
You want to help us out just a little bit more? Just a little bit more? You go to Amazon, you do your shopping, you go through the DecibelGeek.com website, you go there, you click on the Amazon banner, it takes you there, you do your shopping, doesn't cost you anything extra. And it gives us the list.
Yeah, we get a list of everything you buy. And some of the more notable purchases in the past week include, in books, Soundtrack of Our Youth, History of Hair Metal Music was bought.
That's cool.
In camera, 3-pack replacement batteries for a select digital Canon camera was bought.
For taking pictures of things that are metal.
Yeah. An OtterBox Defender Series case for your Samsung Galaxy Note 9. You gotta protect your phone. Amazon Basics backpack for laptops up to 17 inches. curb chain necklace for men, stainless steel, biker punk style.
All right, cool. Rock out.
Waste King garbage disposal with exclusive silencer technology. I'm assuming that's a good garbage disposal. I don't know.
Silencer technology.
And in music, A Star is Born, the original motion picture soundtrack. That's the movie with Lady Gaga that's out right now.
LA
Guns, The Missing Piece was bought.
That's awesome.
Epica, The Solace System. That's a good band.
I like Epica.
I like their stuff. And then finishing it off this week is Blue Oyster Cult with Secret Treaties.
Yeah, a lot of people don't talk about that Secret Treaties album too much, but there's some pretty awesome songs on that.
I think we should do a heavier side of Blue Oyster Cult sometime.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
That is easy.
We've never really featured
That's all the Blue Oyster Cult songs on my iPod.
Oh, really?
That's the heavier side.
Yeah, we'll just reference your iPod.
Yeah, totally. Before we get back to it, I just want to remind you guys, of course, we've got our VIP program. That's our buddy system. You know, we like to run things past them. them before we're doing anything. We know they're the first ones to vote for us in the Ear Peeler Podcast Kings Tournament. We know they got our backs. We got their backs. I just released two full Chris and Aaron episodes for them, number 82 and number 83. So that's what we're up to there. Not to mention all the other cool stuff we've done for our VIPs, and it's all still available. You can listen to this stuff. There's, what, got to be over 100 hours of entertainment there, right?
Oh, easily.
What's there now?
There's a lot.
So you go back to the beginning, you can check it all out. That's pretty funny stuff. We really cut loose on VIP. And, yeah, you can either easily do that by visiting patreon.com and looking up Decibel Geek and signing up for the level that works for you. None of it's expensive. It's all well worth it. The VIPs love it. We love doing it for them, so become one.
Real quick, before we get back to the conversation, I did put out a call when we originally had the idea to do a new noise thing for if anybody had some stuff to suggest.
Okay.
And I want to just go over a few things that were brought up just so so people don't feel left out.
You went in such a rage you forgot things?
I did. So, but I'm trying to make up for it right now.
Everybody seems to be getting along now.
Yeah, people are doing pretty well now. But yeah, a lot of it's just feedback on stuff, but any chance you could hint at possible Albums Unleashed episodes? Not yet, but there are some that are we're looking at booking people for.
Well, I've got a massive list.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad idea for an episode. You and I each pick 5 Albums Unleashed that we'd love to do. Pick
a song wish off list. It.
Yeah. Do Albums Unleashed wish list.
That sounds cool.
Fun.
One, Craig Bowen just said Super Suckers.
Oh, shit. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's see. Rich Dillon says CGCM podcast is always a great topic.
Yeah.
We do love those guys.
He just tricked you into dropping their names.
And I did. James West said, just finishing listening to the Pantera episode for the third time. Thank you very
right
much. Just hitting a few of these right now. But give a shout. Adam Cox says, give a shout out to Throne of Malediction.
I've been reading something about that.
Eric Sartana Horner is a huge supporter of the podcast.
That's right.
His latest EP was reviewed by me this week. So go to DecibelGeek.com and check out that.
That's where I was reading it. DecibelGeek.com, of course.
So just want to get those in before we get back into the show.
That's cool. I like these free form just bullshit episodes.
They're
where
fun.
We're just
no work
just fun.
So back to more bullshit.
Oh, before that, hey, don't forget to vote for us,
please.
We're gonna lose if you guys don't pull it together for us. We need you so bad now more than ever. Help us.
Fraley was on Jimmy Pardo's show today.
I know. I read that right before we started recording, and I immediately set it up to download, so I haven't heard it yet.
Well,
don't spoil that for me like you did the album.
I wanted to. But yeah, I'll tell you to listen to it. There's some funny stuff in that interview. It's great.
I'm glad Jimmy Pardo wasn't in the Ear Peeler Podcast Kings Tournament. We'd all be dead meat.
Oh, man. Okay, so that's our thoughts on the farewell tour.
So, since we were just mentioning you spoiling Ace Frehley album for me, you want to get right into that?
All right.
Because I'm the kind of guy, this is how this went down. I'm the kind of guy, when it's a special album, I don't want to hear the songs ahead of time. I did it with Enough's Enough.
Yeah.
When Chip came out with that new album with this awesome new band, I didn't want to hear any of the songs. I didn't listen to Diamond Boy ahead of time when it was released. I purposely avoided it on Facebook so I wouldn't hear it. I wanted to wait till the day came, so I did the pre-order. The album showed up on the day that it was release date, and I put it in and listened to the whole thing in its entirety, and that's the way I like to do it. I pull out this sleeve out of the CD. I'm looking at the lyrics. I'm looking at the things that are written about the band, you know, things that are going on, little things that you might be able to use someday on your podcast.
Right.
That's the way I like to do it. I do that with certain artists because they mean a lot to me. So when you came over here that day going, I got the new Ace Frehley album.
Yeah.
I got it on my phone. I'm like, wait a minute. I was kind of waiting for release date to listen to the whole thing. You're like, yeah, but you heard the song Bronx Boy. No, I didn't hear the song Bronx Boy because I haven't listened to this. And you tempter. You made me listen to it.
There's still a couple songs you haven't heard.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I kind of previewed most of it for you.
I tell you, I like what I heard.
So
it a lot.
So we're going to get into my review.
First thing I'd like to say is on the cover of the album, man, forget what Cobras and Fire say. He looks awesome. I love it. Silver suit. It reminds me of something from back
in
the day.
Well, yeah, it was a callback to that photo session from 78.
See,
with the silver suit. I did
like
that.
How cool is that?
It was a good little callback. I don't have a problem with the album cover.
And they say members of KISS don't care about their fans. Here's Ace Frehley putting in the time to bring back a little history.
Well, and I'll tell you that the fact that Ace Frehley has been putting so many records out in the last 10 years is just fucking awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I mean, don't bitch if you're getting, you know, new products from your favorite artist. Because Gene and Paul are, you know, they're toeing the whole, well, records don't sell, so we're not doing them line.
Ace is like,
screw it, I'm going to do an album anyway. So, which I think is awesome, because he still feels the urge to play.
Right. That's totally Ace Frehley. He's an artist. He wants to create. Right. He feels like he owes it to the fans, even though, just like KISS, Ace Frehley don't owe us shit, but he's still giving it to us anyway. That's fucking awesome.
So here's my review. I just have a few notes for each song. So I'm not going to play anything. So anyone from E1 listening, don't worry. I'm not spoiling the album.
He was like, hey, man, I would have to download it and then burn it into this.
But I didn't do that.
And I'm going, well, what are you waiting for? And he wouldn't do it.
No, I'm not going to.
After he damn teased me with it. And I got to wait for the date now.
I'm not going to burn bridges like other people do.
I was thinking about buying a freaking phonograph after hearing there was a chrome silver version of the LP.
Oh, I'm buying that.
That's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying that. Okay, so the first track on the album is called Without You, I'm Nothing. And this song was co-written with Gene Simmons. And I'm pretty sure it's Gene playing bass on it. Because he plays bass on the other song that he co-wrote.
Oh, because you only got the download, not the CD with the fold-out that would tell you exactly who played it.
Yeah, so you're not going to get a total detailed review. But you're just getting
the release date.
You're really just getting my thoughts on the songs. But this song was co-written with Gene. The main bass riff that you hear that kind of drives the verse part of the song, you will be familiar if you're into deep tracks from Gene, like that have been on either The Vault or on, I think it was on Sex, Money, Kiss, on like the Lunchbox set.
Oh, yeah.
He had like bonus tracks on there. Yeah. And I even played the song I'm about to reference on one of our Kiss.
Speaking in Tongues.
But we did like, you know, Kiss demos and stuff like that. But there's a song that Gene did called Rain Keeps Falling that it's the same riff. It's the exact same riff. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's
cool.
Or
Scott Van Zin when you need him to help you come up with something new.
Right. as I get through this review, there's definite borrowing from past things, not only from Gene, but from Ace. So the main bass riff is taken from Rain Keeps Falling. You'll hear that. It's a decent mid-tempo song. It's not a great album opener. I don't think it works as the album opener. And I had kind of the same issue with Space Invader. I don't think either of the opening tracks are great for either album.
Was Space Invader title track the opener?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
I like the song. I just don't know that it works as the opener. I want something that grabs me more.
I don't know. I like that as the opener. And even Anomaly had a good opener on it.
Yeah. The solo is one of the better ones on the album. And I have a little bit of a gripe on some of his solos on this record. And I'll get to that.
They rock too much?
So we'll see. Aaron is incredibly biased. Let me just state that.
I find the solos on this Ace Frehley album are too fucking awesome for me.
Okay.
That's my only complaint.
That's his review. So then Rockin' with the Boys is the second song. That was one of the singles that's been released so far. This has an interesting history because the title, Rockin' with the Boys, was originally rumored to be the album that they started with Eric Carr before The Elder. It was called Rockin' with the Boys when they were recording at Ace's house.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know
Ace
if this...
Ace and the whole studio stuff before they brought him The Elder. And Ace was like, what the fuck, Curly?
So I'm not sure if this song goes back that far because I don't know the history of it, but that's an interesting thing.
Wow.
Lyrically, it's a modern take on Beth. And it's a rocking song, but it's
Wait a minute. Are you saying that the album that should have been instead of The Elder, the hard rocking one, was going to be called Rockin' with the Boys?
That's what the tapes were labeled with.
Rockin' with the Boys.
That was the working title at the time.
That would have been an awful name, but probably a kick-ass album.
But, and I didn't really like this song at first when I first heard it. I kind of was like, oh my gosh. But,
I heard the title, I was like, Beth, I hear you calling.
Well,
can't come home right
now. It's the same. It's basically the same message as Beth. It's like I'm working tonight. I'm rocking with the boys. You know, I'll give you a buzz when I take a break.
Hey, all members of KISS been through it in some form or another.
But it's really grown on me though. It's one of those I've listened to a lot, and it's become one of my more favorite songs on the record. But and I'll say this: as cheesy as it comes off, if this was on a KISS album from 1979 or 80, everyone would fucking love this song.
Yeah.
So remember, this is the same guy that wrote Torpedo Girl, so let's not get too caught up in the lyrics, okay?
Well, that's the thing with Ace Frehley, you know, and I talked about this when you were forcing me to listen to this against my will, even though I secretly really wanted to.
Overdramatic.
But, Ace can he's known for some cheesy ass lyrics sometimes, sure. Yes, but there's other moments where he's got some lyrics that are just clever as hell.
Right. This is not the case.
This is not the one. I'm sure the guitar playing is awesome.
It is.
Well, I know you played it for me. Everything sounded good.
So there's one gripe I have about Ace on his singing, and he's not really naturally a singer, but on these newer albums he does, he over enunciates stuff.
Yeah.
Like he'll just the way he pronounces words is just odd, and I don't know why he does it the way he does, but his vocal delivery has changed over the years.
Huh. I was going to say, isn't that just part of his charm?
But I would like to know, if I ever got the shot at interviewing him, I would ask him, like, you changed your vocal because you enunciate words differently now than you did back in the day. Maybe it's because he's not half in the bag. I don't know.
Yeah, that's...
The sobriety might affect it. I don't know.
I don't give a damn as long as he keeps coming out with new albums.
The bridge on the song has an acoustic part that kind of flows underneath before it goes into the solo. And it's an acoustic part that will remind you of Fractured Mirror.
Right on.
It's real similar.
I'm down with that.
The solo is a letdown. I don't think the solo on this is very good. It's
well, I guess on an Ace Frehley level, right?
Well, basically, some of these songs where it's like, you can tell he's doing one-take solos and he's not really thinking them out. And some songs that works for,
yeah.
But this is one where, like, I miss the Ace of back in the day where you could tell he looked at his solo spot and like, okay, let me come up with something that's hummable and has a real melody line to
right.
it instead of just rah, 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 it just sounds like he's throwing all his bag of tricks at everything.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
It's not that it's bad. It's just he's just, let me just wail and do the same four things that I do in my solo spot on stage. And it doesn't really work in a song context.
You think he needs to spend a little more time being creative with his solos?
Yeah. Okay. And I'll get to and as we get near the end of the album, I'll explain how that links into this.
Because, I mean, Ace Frehley is known for some of the most memorable solos that I've ever heard. You know, I could hum several of them off the top of my head right now, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess...
Well, that's why I have a gripe about it.
You just expect a little more from Ace Frehley.
I do. I think he could up his game on his solos.
All right.
Now, there's a breakdown sing-along thing after the solo that's really cool. And he does that a few times on this album, which makes the song sound a little bit more dynamic, which is good.
And he's got a fantastic freaking band.
His band's great. Yeah, like I said, if you listen to the song the first time you listen, you're like, oh, it's cheesy. Listen to it like five times, and I guarantee it'll start clicking in your head.
Yeah.
This is a memorable song. It will stick in your head.
Right on.
So then we go to the track three is Your Wish Is My Command. This is the other Gene co-write.
Okay.
Which you could tell is a Gene title, totally.
Yeah. He loves songs about wishing.
Yeah, pretty much. Gene also plays bass on this song.
Right on.
It starts with this a cappella gang vocal thing. You know, your wish is my command. It's kind of Queen sounding.
Okay.
So even if there's even like a kid singing in it. It's interesting. Musically,
Ace Frehley always, I love my dolls.
Yeah,
you gotta have some kids singing in that song.
Musically, the main riff, it's got a mix of like electric and acoustic guitars, and the music part of it mainly kind of reminds me of Street Fighting Man by the Rolling Stones. It has a similar type of chord structure to it.
He just did that song on his last album.
Which may be what led him to this. I don't know. It's a schmaltzy song, that's where it's coming from Gene. It's more like it feels like a track that could have been on the Asshole album.
Yeah.
It sounds like Ace
sounds
doing...
Sounds like a track that Paul Stanley said, no way.
Yeah, kind of.
No way.
It's Ace doing a Gene song is what it sounds
like.
It's got a good solo. It's got a twangier tone. It almost sounds like he's playing a Telecaster on the tone. It's interesting. Yeah.
Work for In Your Face.
Yeah. It's a decent song. It's one of those that's worth listening to. I don't know that it would make my playlist, but it's interesting to hear.
Okay.
Then we got a Bronx Boy. This was the other single that's been put out already. And this one's had mixed reviews from a lot of people. I wasn't crazy about it at first, but it's just like Rocking With The Boys. It's grown on me.
Yeah.
And,
right on. I liked it when you played it for me.
The only gripe with it, it's got a lead part at the beginning that's just terrible, in my opinion. But the main riff, the riffs on this song are great. The lyrics will remind you of hard times. It's about, like, you know, growing up in the Bronx and, you know, living on the street and, you know, having
singing
to fight
about what he knows.
Right. So it has
besides his space experiences.
Yeah, it reminds me of that a lot.
That's cool.
Solo
I like
is,
that stuff.
The solo's okay, but it's samey and it's more of the non-hummable just blah, blah, blah. But it actually works better on this because it's more of like a frantic up-tempo rocker riff, so it works in that context.
Kind of like some of them solos off of Trouble Walking would get like that.
Yeah,
just it's out of fucking control.
Bronx Boy would not be out of place on Trouble Walking.
Right on.
I could hear that. Then track five is Pursuit of Rock and Roll. This has an interesting story to it because when you hear it, you're gonna go, well, that's the song Too Many Faces. It's the same basic riff from Too Many Faces from Anomaly, but it's got distortion added to it.
Okay,
but Hold the Phone. This song predates that because this song was rejected for Psycho Circus.
Oh, wow.
And the original title was Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Rock and Roll.
Is that a Gene Simmons co-write, too?
No.
That sounds like a Gene Simmons title also. Wow.
And the chorus is, that's what he's saying, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Rock and Roll. And the chords on the chorus are going to remind you of Lost in Limbo from Trouble Walking.
Huh.
So, like, there's a lot of Ace callbacks in this album.
Sometimes that works. You know, it's like when Van Halen did it, you know, and they picked them old songs that they never really did and brought them back up and did them, you know, proper. And it worked really well.
The lyrics on this song are lame as hell.
Oh, what?
In my opinion. It's, you know, I mean, it means well, but it's just corny as hell.
This sounds like it should have been on Psycho Circus.
Something like
Your Glasses, I love,
but it's about rock and roll. It's like, I love the Rolling Stones. Those boys set me free and... Give me some Chuck Berry. It's really amateurish on the lyric side, in my opinion. It's just not a lot of thought went into these lyrics. There's a solo and then the breakdown after. He's another breakdown where he kind of brings it down to just drums and stuff. Yeah. And that's cool. I like that part. I
suppose he heard us all raving about that song Into the Void and how that breakdown in that song was so badass. And he's like, well, we got to put badass breakdowns in all these songs.
Then we go to track six. And this is the standard, typical Ace Frehley cover song that's on every album, it seems. It's I Want to Go Back, which was originally done by Eddie Money in the 80s, which is a strange choice.
I'm still saying the song that he should be covering is You May Be Right by Billy Joel.
That would be cool.
I'm telling you,
that's
the fucking song that Ace Frehley needs to take and rock out and do a cover of. Why this song? This song wasn't that good to begin with.
I like the original. I mean, I thought it was a good song, but it's a straight up faithful cover of the Eddie Money. There's not a lot of difference.
I'm sure the guitar solo is a little better.
I'll get to that. I'd be curious to know what the motivating factor was on this one, and I'm wondering if you look at the lyrics, you almost wonder if this is a plea to Paul and Gene, because the chorus is I want to go back and do it all over, but I can't go back. I know.
Because you ain't offering me the right money, Curly.
Apparently. but in my opinion, it's more proof that he's great at doing cover songs, because it's a very enjoyable cover. It's faithful to the original.
It's better than the Joker.
The solo lets me down. He keeps doing the same 3 to 4 runs on the solos.
I guess. I mean, it's an Eddie Money song. How much solo is there room for?
But it's not like the original solo either. Yeah. It's just Ace doing the same little 3 and 4 runs that he's done on so many other songs. I wish he would just put more time into those. But it's okay. It's a fun listen. Then we get to Mission to Mars, which is the next track. This is by far my favorite song on this record.
Right on. Yeah, you played me this one, and I freaking loved it.
This song, in my opinion, is great. Starts off with this little spacey instrumental piece with guitars and stuff, and then it just blasts into... Dare I call it a punk rock riff? It's like it's like fast up tempo and not really punk, but for Ace it's punk and
pretty hard rocking for sure.
Yeah, the lyrics are what you would expect from a song called Mission to Mars. It's an
Ace Frehley song about space. Yeah. You can't go wrong with that. All the best Ace Frehley songs are about space.
It seems
to
be. the solo seems more thought out on this song, or it's just a matter of the bag of tricks he breaks out works better at this tempo.
Yeah.
Everything fits on this song. This is a really well done song.
I liked it a lot.
I could have heard this one on the first Frehley's Comet album. I think it would fit comfortably on that record. At this point, the album could have ended at this point as far as I'm concerned.
Really?
Yeah.
How many songs are left?
Two.
Okay.
The next one is called Off My Back. And this song is terrible, in my opinion. It's just bad. It's a boring pedestrian riff, slow, it's plodding. It's a relationship song. And it's a total clunker, in my opinion.
So it's like a clunker on Ace Frehley's standard, though, right?
I think even for Ace, this is a letdown. Oh. I don't like this song. It's a filler track, and it would not even come close to being considered killer filler. It's bad.
Wow.
You could disagree.
But I don't think I heard that one. You didn't play me the bad ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to spare you. So then, here's the last track. It's Quantum Flux, which is, as he always does, just like he does a cover, he does an instrumental at the end of the record.
Right, yeah, it's tradition.
These are usually good. I usually love all the instrumentals he does at the end of the records, because they usually will have like a decent bed music of chords for him to start doing layering of lead stuff on top of.
Yeah.
There's an inkling of a decent idea here, but it just comes off uninspired. It's funny because it's like, it's almost like him trying to be progressive or something. I'm not going to say it sounds like Yes, but it doesn't sound like Ace.
I don't think Ace Frehley's capable of sounding like Yes.
No, there's nothing super like complicated here. It's just, The chords that he builds everything else off
of. No, I'm saying Ace Frehley's too fucking awesome to sound like Yes.
Okay.
But that's for you, Kevin Williams.
Oh, boy. Not buying it through our Amazon link after that. The basic structure that he's using to build everything off of, I just think is dull. It's just not that interesting.
But, is it maybe like you get to that point where you feel obligated that you have to put that wild instrumental at
the end? I guess so. I mean, Ace himself may love it, but just to me, I think it
fell flat. There was one of them solo albums that he did back in the day that didn't end with the instrumental track, I think.
Was Trouble Walking?
I don't think Trouble Walking ended.
Didn't that end
with Fractured 3?
Was that on Trouble Walking? I thought Trouble Walking ended with Remember Me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, yeah.
You
don't have to do it.
Little piece of trivia about Remember Me. Did you know it's not actually a live song?
Yes, because I've heard the regular version of it.
Yeah, they put crowd noise onto it, and at the beginning, people don't seem to catch the joke. He's like, something like, "Good evening, welcome to the club Remulac in France."
And that's from the Coneheads. Yeah.
He was a Saturday Night Live fan. This is his joke.
Wow.
But like a lot of people that hear it think he's really playing at some club in France.
Right, yeah. For years I thought that.
I did too.
Until I read that, I was like, oh shit, mind blown.
But what I'm going to tie this up with is the funny thing about this song, even though I'm bored with this song, his lead playing on this song is way better than everything else on the album. And it's like if he'd view his solo spots and songs as he does with instrumentals and write actual musical passages instead of just throwing all these pentatonic, you know, widdly things in, it would be a hummable solo like his old stuff.
Right.
He saves all the good musical passages for these instrumentals. It's like if he would get in the headspace of, here's the 8 bars for my solo, view that as an instrumental.
As a small instrumental
on
its own.
And play to that.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't just throw everything with the kitchen sink.
I think that's great advice to any guitar player.
Yeah. You know, think it out. Make something that people are going to remember. Because a lot of the solos on this album are not memorable.
I got to think back in the day, a lot of them solos were him just freaking ripping on the guitar and them going, okay, yeah, we're going to take this piece from here and this piece from here, and that's the solo. Now you have to learn that and play it every night.
Or they call Bob Kulick. No, I'm just kidding. but no, that's my review of Space. Overall, I mean, I'm saying there's a little bit more than an EP of great music on a full album here.
Okay.
That's my take.
Okay, you ready for my Ace Frehley review?
I wonder what that's going to be.
Hey, everybody. Ace Frehley's got a new album coming out, and how awesome would it be if he debuted at number one? So get your asses out there and pre-order this thing, because you know it's going to be awesome all the way through. Why? Because it's Ace freaking Frehley. That's why. The Spaceman from Kiss. Get out there and buy this album. Album of the year, I'm calling it now. Go ahead, go listen to it, and then hit us up on Facebook and let us know what you thought about it. My review.
Let me underline it with it. I'm buying it, and you should too.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's an Ace Frehley new album. You can't be upset about that.
You're not even getting that out of Kiss.
Absolutely.
Is it crazy that Ace Frehley's going to outlast Kiss?
It is. Never thought that would happen.
That's awesome.
Because I saw Ace play in a club in the 90s, and I didn't think he'd even be alive today.
You didn't think he'd last past 93?
Hell no. So, yeah, so that's my review.
All right, that's cool, man.
All right, so we have a couple of other stories we want to hit real fast before we get out of here. Did you see Stephen Piercy on stage recently?
Yes. What'd they say? He mixed some pills with some booze
apparently
that was a bad idea?
He was on, like, I think muscle relaxers or something for, like, a shoulder injury or a knee injury. And he decided to drink on top of those pills.
That's always a bad idea. And yeah, you have no control over what it's going to do to you.
And the next thing you know, you've got an inebriated Steven sitting on the stage trying to sing Round and Round, and it just sounded bad.
He even apologized to the fans the next day.
Yeah, I've had friends tell me, he's got a bad reputation. I'm amazed he owned up to it. I'm like, he didn't have a choice. It was all over the internet. You know? There's nothing you could say other than I fucked up. Slurringly awful.
Yeah, yeah. And really, at this point, you know, it's not like it used to be where you could have a bad show here and there and no one would ever know about it.
Everyone knows. That's the most press I've gotten in a while.
Oh, that's terrible. It's got to be for that.
Yeah.
Why can't it be for the night before when they had a fucking killer show, you know?
And I've heard he's done great since that night. You're not getting on TMZ. But,
TMZ, breaking news, Rat had an awesome show last night.
I want to tip my hat to Baco from Cobras and Fire for having an awesome interview with KK Downing, formerly of Judas Priest. I was real happy for those guys to get that interview, and Baco did a great job. Got a lot of really interesting quotes out of KK on that interview.
That's very cool.
Like the thing that probably blew me away the most was that him and Glenn Tipton really hadn't been close for a long, long time, like decades.
Yeah,
like it was a frustrating work environment, and apparently one of the main reasons he quit was Glenn Tipton's drinking. He said he was drinking a lot before they would go on stage and would just be sloppy live. And KK's kind of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And it's like some of those double solos weren't coming off the right way. And also there was a dispute about, because Glenn's girlfriend or wife is the manager of Judas Priest.
Oh, that always seems to make problems. And, ask Queensryche,
and
they'll tell
you. That's weighed heavily on that situation. So,
yeah, because when you got one band's member as the manager of the band, everything's always going to favor that member because it also favors the person they're married to.
Especially that time when she brought in drawings of each member that would be dressed up like astrological signs and stuff. And said the next album would be recorded in Dublin. Sorry.
I knew I had to go then.
It's an easy joke. You have to, when you can reference Spinal Tap, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the fact that KK's not with the band anymore, but I also understand.
Is he doing anything solo-ly?
He put a book out. That's, he's been through a lot of financial issues.
Like, so why don't he start a new fucking band and get out there and start playing?
I think I may have heard that he's doing something, but I can't remember what. But
he should do something.
I wish he would.
The name KK Downing's enough to make me, if they're playing somewhere in Nashville, I would totally go. I don't care what they're playing. I'd go see KK Downing's band.
It's one of those hard things, though, because like I think it sucks that he's not in Priest, but at the same time, I think Judas Priest is doing
doing pretty damn good without him.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Anybody that heard that last album or seen him live recently.
Yeah, and I know some people don't like Andy Sneap playing the other guitar part, but I think he's doing an admirable job. Yeah. So, and Richie Faulkner's just a tremendous player.
Yeah.
But
hey, Priest is still going.
A lot of our heroes are hanging it up. It's getting near the end for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, we'll never stop celebrating the legends around here.
We still got the albums. And then lastly, I just wanted to bring up a story I just saw today, and Slash is talking about the great camaraderie in the Guns N' Roses camp these days.
That's cool. That's good to hear.
First, I never thought they would tour again with these guys, and then secondly, the fact that they're getting along is amazing.
The phrase great camaraderie and Guns N' Roses, that's the first time in history that's ever been put into the same sentence.
And he did a... in an interview, he says, sitting on the outside, the Guns tour, it wasn't ever about it being whatever it ended up being, looking at it from a dollars and cents or a status thing or whatever other people look at it for. The actual experience of doing it and having these amazing fucking crowds and this response to the band and the band itself, just that whole thing was amazing. It was so cool, and it was such, in a way, a validating thing for that lineup.
Yeah.
That's why it was so much fun, and that's why we did it for so long. It wasn't because, we're going to make a lot of money on it, but as a player, that's what I was getting off on.
Yeah, but they also made a lot of money.
They made a shit ton of money.
We saw the prices of your tickets, Guns N' Roses.
They made like $500 million or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, because only the rich folk could afford to go see Guns N' Roses.
That's true. I sure as hell couldn't afford to do it.
I didn't go either because I couldn't afford it.
But no definite word yet on if they're going to record, but I know Slash has said that he knows that Axl has a lot of ideas. And He said, you know, if things keep rolling the way they are, we may end up in a studio.
If they can work together and it's not just Axl going, here's the songs, here's what you got to play, you know, I could see something good coming out of
that.
Is there ever going to be anything more out of Axl DC? I thought there was talk at one time that they were writing together and going to record together.
But I'd like
to hear that album.
But then that got kind of mucked up because there was photos that were released that somebody said they had taken from a studio in Vancouver. And first the photos showed Phil Rudd like smoking a cigarette outside the studio.
Yeah.
With the producer who's worked on like the last couple of AC/DC albums. They're like, oh shit, it's Phil Rudd back in AC/DC. And at the time I'm like, an Axl DC record with Phil Rudd on drums? Holy shit.
Yeah.
But then another picture got leaked with Phil Rudd and the producer and Brian Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think that was the last I heard was that they were back together with Brian Johnson. But
there's also rumors that those photos are from the Rocker Bus sessions and they aren't new.
Yeah, because, I mean, last year there was all that talk about, even earlier this year, about Angus and Axl writing and creating songs together.
So, I don't know. I mean, I hope either way we get a new
AC/DC. I'm a big fan of AC/DC. I'm a big fan of Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
I would love to hear that Axl DC
album. As an experiment, I think I'd love to hear what they could do together.
I think it would be fucking awesome.
I do, too. I think it has a lot of potential to be a great record.
Yeah.
It's just, the question is, will it actually happen? So, I don't know. It's just did you think, you know, 10 years ago, Axl was pretty much in Vinnie Vincent territory and hiding.
Right, yeah.
And, like, now he's, you know, he's doing Guns N' Roses, he's doing AC/DC. Like, I never would have expected Axl to be, like, full force out in the public again.
It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
I would love a new Guns N' Roses album.
Oh, me too.
You know?
Yeah. A lot of
way
potential
better
there
than Chinese Democracy if you got Duff and Slash on there.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of potential there. So, But
will Axl ever allow a Guns N' Roses album to be better than Chinese Democracy?
And will it take 15 years to make it?
15 fucking years it took.
Hmm. Entirely too long.
Yeah, I don't want to hold my breath for it. Maybe you can play it at my funeral because it'll come out the same week.
Well, it's like getting a new Tool album. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, you can hint around all you like, but until it's actually released, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah,
Tool's going on what, 10 years without a new record?
It's been a long time. Yeah,
and every year they're like, "We're close." I'm like, "No, you're not."
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder if that's the same kind of thing where they're trying to create the perfect album.
I don't know. Artistic people can get tied up in that, you know.
I mean, take it from Axl Rose. You spend that long trying to create the perfect album, and when it comes out, it doesn't matter how good it is because it never can live up to the hype of waiting that long.
Yeah.
Which, I never thought that Chinese Democracy was a bad album. There's songs on it I like, there's songs on it I don't like, but when I listened to it, I was like, 15 years.
It fell flat for all the hype it had.
Yeah.
But like, there's no.
But it was the first
it.
Thing from... quotation marks,
yeah.
Guns N' Roses in that many years.
Yeah, I bought it on release day, too.
I did, too.
But I was like,
when I listened to it, I was like, 15 years, though, huh?
Yeah, there was
this
some,
is what you get for that?
There were some good songs, but I was like, I don't know if this was worth a wait of 15 years. Like, this could have been released. You could tell that it was recorded over 15 years because you could, all the songs are so disjointed from
right.
each other. There's no cohesiveness to it.
Ah, man. I'll take a new GNR album. Yes, please, and thank you.
So, but,
as long as they sit and listen to Appetite for Destruction for a long time before they go in the studio.
Right.
I'm ready for Appetite 2.
Oh, I'd love that lineup to get back together. That would be
shit,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about sure. Gilby?
What about him?
I don't know. I'm just saying, what about Gilby?
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, I'm sure.
I'm not going to make a joke. Gilby Clark, my favorite punching bag.
I'm ready for a new Gilby Clark album.
Well, there's one of you.
All right. Hopefully we can get that to happen, too.
Oh, man. Well, that's all I had for today.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah. Do you have anything?
I saw on wrestling the other night that Lizzie Hale had put together this list for Spotify. It had something to do with WWE.
Really? She was a wrestling fan?
I guess, well, or either that or they said, who's the most awesome rock chick out there right now? You know, and they're like, oh, that's Lizzie Hale. So they got her, and she curated, I guess, a Spotify list,
mm-hmm.
and it had a bunch of female wrestlers' theme songs and some other like popular songs, but she did slip in some Black Sabbath, some Joan Jett, and some Lita Ford.
Nice. I still want to get her on the show.
Shit, yeah.
That's cool.
All right, so is that it? That's the new noise,
that's
huh?
That's everything I have for this week.
So what do we take away from today? Kiss is going away.
Yep.
Ace Frehley's still going. Yep. Vote for Decibel Geek in the Ear Peeler Podcast Kings Tournament. Yep. And that's about it.
And everybody chill the hell out.
Oh, yeah, and chill out. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
I'm just It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.